time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Indeed, on a Friday, and great to have you with us for the next 60 minutes. Everything you need to get caught up on what's going on in sports, we got it for you. Good to be with you today. Our friend Tino Patino drops by to preview NASCAR in Darlington. Who you should bet on, who you should stay away from. As it's throwback weekend there, we'll also be joined by Robert Littal, Black Sports Online founder. Talk about some of the top stories of the week with him. But we start things out in the NBA, and Sam Yarnell is here. Few juicy, fun stories out of the league last night that certainly got me excited. I watched a lot of NBA last night because for some inexplicable reason, I was blacked out of the Yankees Diamondbacks game. Even though we live 4 hours from Phoenix, apparently we're the local area for the Diamondbacks. So I don't get to watch the Diamondbacks. I don't get to watch the Dodgers. Like, it's just, it's mind blowing.
You know what's funny though? You get to watch the Athletics. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I do. Lucky me. So I took in a lot of NBA last night. Lucky me.
I'm sorry.
Lucky me again. I took in a lot of NBA last night, and boy, there were some fun ones. Warriors Lakers was a blast. Final 2 minutes of that game was totally electric. You know, you had LeBron and Steph going back and forth at each other. Luka did not play well in this game, did not shoot well in this game. And here's the reality. This Warriors team has lost two games when Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green are all on the floor. The Warriors are a very dangerous team with that threesome intact right now. And you saw it again last night, beating a Lakers team that's been really good at home this year.
That's one way to look at it for sure. Me being the ever NBA optimist, as you all know me to be so truly and well, looked at it and said, wow, we really thought the Lakers could hold their own in a 7-game series against the Nuggets, against the Thunder.
That's where you went.
What are we doing here? Because they showed you exactly last night what the problem is going to be for that team in the postseason, right? Luka Doncic, quite simply, unless it's last year's playoffs for the Dallas Mavericks, can't play like one of the greatest players of all time every single night. And he's sure as heck not going to be able to do it in the playoffs if he can't do it in a primetime game against the Warriors in early April. So I do think it's interesting, right, with that the narrative now surrounding this entire Warriors team has become, oh my gosh, they're so good. And Jason, I'll even one-up you on the stats, right? Like, with that starting five they put out there last night, after the result, they're now 13-0 when they trot out that starting five. They have not lost a game. Then you go and look at the teams they beat, and it's not great. You beat a Memphis team, okay. You beat a San Antonio team without Wemby. You beat a New Orleans team that doesn't have anybody. You lost to Denver. You barely beat Toronto. We know all about Toronto. Let's see. You barely beat a Milwaukee team that didn't have Giannis.
You beat who's you on your lost... schedule. Jesus.
My point is this. We get so caught up in this number and this 13-0 and 19-2 and yada, 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 and all of this. My gosh, look at who they're beating. Look at who the competition, who they'll have to face in the playoffs is. We're talking about two different universes of teams.
Well, look, I have said this before, and I say it every Wednesday when we have Vlad and Kurt Heelan on. I'm not going to believe it with the Thunder until I see it. Till that team shows me they're in the NBA Finals, I'm not going to believe it. So I am still taking the Warriors as a team you have to look at seriously. That could still come out of the West. I still think there's five or six teams that could come out of the West right now. And until I see the Thunder come out of the West and represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals, I won't believe it. More to say on the NBA after a word from our friends over at Edge Boost. Are you making extra money daily from your sports betting? You should be. I'm always about trying to find ways to take sports betting to the next level. That's exactly why I tell you about Edge Boost on this show every damn day. The financial platform that pays you cash back to wager. Edge Boost is an online bank account paying you for every deposit. And with the Edge Boost Visa debit card, you're getting up to 0.5% cash back on all your sportsbook, daily fantasy site, and casino transactions. That's free money back in your pocket just for doing what you're doing already. It's a no-brainer. Plus, your Edge Boost debit card starts with a $250,000 daily limit, and it'll never be declined for gambling activity. They got built-in tools to help you stay responsible, and there's absolutely no hidden fees or minimum required balances. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit edgeboost.bet to learn more and sign up today. Edgeboost.bet, or just scan the QR code right there. Use my promo code WRAP, W-R-A-P. Get yourself a free account upgrade with our friends over at Edge Boost. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies snapped the Heat 6-game winning streak last night, Sam. And they do it on the heels of this jaw finger gun salute, which is getting a lot of attention. And on a night where we should be talking about Ja getting the game winner, the buzzer beater, instead we're talking about this finger gun salute because the NBA said don't do it, and then he goes off and does it the very next game. Now, I'm going to take a real quick second on this. I actually don't have a big problem with it because I know people are going to say, well, it's promoting gun violence and all this. Really? Have you turned on TV today? Have you watched a video game today? Really, if Ja Morant doing a finger gun salute, if that's the end-all, be-all, and the tipping point, then we've got big problems. It's not. However, with that said, Adam Silver and the NBA are not going to let this go. And if they say don't do it, you don't do it. I don't agree with it. I wouldn't do it. But at the same time, he's going to wind up getting suspended for something like this at a time where his team needs him.
Oh my gosh, it's the most ridiculous thing, Jason. You put it perfectly, you laid it out there perfectly, all the reasoning behind it. Listen, I'll just say what my takeaway was from kind of this entire news cycle that seemed to have surrounded and engulfed Ja Morant within itself over the course of the last 48 hours. Between this new rule being thrown at the players all of a sudden and Ja Morant doing something that he's done since he came into the league before that even. My takeaway is this, right? And I'll make this quick. The NBA is very quickly trending towards being everything we hate about the NFL. And the NBA does not have the viewership power that the NFL has.
I thought this exact same thing. Last night, I said it feels NFL-esque in that way. Oh, by the way, Giannis goes off for 35, 20, and 17 last night, and it gets 10 seconds in the first segment. Nice job, Giannis. It's because your team sucks. We're coming back. We got more sports wrap on a Friday. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Sports Wrap. Coming up in 10 minutes, Robert Littal, Black Sports Online founder. Get his thoughts on some of the top stories of the week. What did he make of Holly Rowe's comments? Talking about Juju Watkins and her popularity and comparing USC home games to the BET Awards. Jesus. We'll get into that coming up, as well as a few other topics with our friend Robert Littal. Sammy Arnell, there is news from the NFL. Couple of guys getting paid. One of them, I'm not going to lie, the Geno Smith one, I kind of had to do a double and triple take at it when I saw the news that Geno Smith got a huge, huge, huge contract extension from the Raiders, who apparently see him as the answer because they paid him like the answer. 2 years, $75 million. Incentives that could push it to over $85 million, $66.5 million guaranteed for a 34-year-old quarterback that has been okay. He's been all right, but like this is what, you know, upper mid sort of gets paid at the quarterback position in the NFL right now, Sam?
Yeah, so I got a couple of things to say about this Geno Smith deal. First of all, you have to kind of look at the situation that the Las Vegas Raiders are in. Tom Brady, by the way, absolutely playing chess, not checkers, with this franchise less than 10 months after becoming a part of that ownership group. So, obviously, the Raiders aren't expecting to win anytime soon. That's why they brought in Pete Carroll. That's why they brought in Geno Smith. That's why they're paying, what's that offensive lineman's name? Colton Miller. They're paying Colton Miller $15 million a year. Listen, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it all, the fact of the matter is, the Raiders have at least this year and probably next year to be kind of stuck in the cap situation they are. What bringing in Pete Carroll and now Geno Smith for the next 2 years does is effectively guarantee you half-decent draft capital, especially with the team you're putting around Geno Smith, right? We've seen what Geno Smith can do when he doesn't have the right pieces around him. Seattle was an outstanding situation, and I think there was an argument when Russell Wilson was kind of ousted that any quarterback who walked into that situation would have a certain degree of success. There was a low ceiling, but definitely a high floor. Vegas is the complete opposite. There's an incredibly low floor, and the ceiling's honestly probably in about the same spot.
Let me tell you. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
They are just building themselves up, especially with this contract, Jason, to live out cap purgatory for the next couple of years with decent draft capital that can rebuild that franchise. I actually don't hate the move.
Here's who he's throwing the football to. We know Brock Bowers is good, obviously, right. The tight end. It's great. Then the receiver room looks like this. Jacoby Myers is your WR1.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Tucker.
Who? And
Kyle Phillips.
Who?
Who's he throwing the football to on that team? And Raheem Mostert's your starting running back right now. Good luck. Good luck, man. But
hey, it's okay. They gave Max Crosby all of the dollars this offseason.
Just count that. Count those dollars, man, if you're Geno Smith. I mean, not the all-time bag getter, because that's Kirk Cousins, but this is a nice bag, man. If somebody told me after year one with the Jets that Geno Smith at 34 would be getting a contract that could pay him in excess of $85 million for 2 years, at the age of 34, I would have had you urinating into a cup. You absolutely, sir, restroom's right there. Here's your cup. Like that. Yeah. That's what I would say.
I understand. But again, wow, I'm talking myself more into liking this move and the Raiders 3 years from now live on the program. But like, look down the cap table for this team. There is a trend with the Las Vegas Raiders that they are paying everyone, and even the Max Crosby contract. It's incredibly front loaded. The cap hit goes down $10 million in 2 years. How much do you think the cap is going to go up in 2 years when we have the new collective bargaining agreement that Matt Verderam was talking about yesterday? My point is this. Yes. The Raiders are going to be bad. Really, really bad. But in a couple years, they're going to be a contender.
DJ Metcalf not walking through that door. Trey McBride.
DK.
DJ, oh DK. My God. I know. I keep doing that. Trey McBride's getting paid, speaking of tight ends. Highest paid tight end in NFL history for at least 5 minutes until somebody else takes over that title, that status. 4 years, $76 million, $43 million guarantee. And look, he's a good tight end. And we don't get to see a lot of him because you don't see a lot of Cardinals games on TV because they're not very good right now. But the reality is he's a good tight end. Is he the best tight end? Should he be getting paid like the best tight end in football? No, but he is.
I'm curious who you'd put above him.
Well, we just talked about Brock Bowers and how good Brock Bowers is.
Sure, Brock Bowers. So that's what I was going to say, right? So, like, the next ones in line to get
Sam
paid
LaPorta
would be Sam LaPorta, but coming off of the year he had last year, he ain't getting paid anytime soon. They're going to live out that rookie contract. And then Brock Bowers, who was just a first-team All-Pro in his rookie year. So you think they're moving off that contract to an extension anytime soon?
No, he's really good, but I don't think, would you call him right now the best tight end in football?
I would say that he's probably top two.
If you're redrafting right now, are you drafting him number one?
No, it would be Brock Bowers number one, and I think it would probably be Trey McBride number two.
You wouldn't take Sam LaPorta? You don't think Sam LaPorta is going to bounce back?
It's tough, man. He just did not. Jason, he did not look the same this last year.
TJ Hawkinson's really good, too.
He is. And obviously, and
George
like,
Kittle. I mean,
George Kittle's great. I think so. Prime George Kittle and current George Kittle. And that's another point, right? That I think is interesting and key to make here. Like, these guys are getting paid like the most money of all time at the position. Mm-hmm. But would we compare Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, Sam LaPorta to prime Travis Kelce, prime George Kittle? I'll go even further back. Prime Tony Gonzalez. No chance.
No, we're not. But hey, congratulations, Trey McBride. Just playing down the road from where I am here in Vegas, down there in Phoenix. Congratulations. Get your bag. Got to get while you can. All right. Sam will return for odds and ends. But when we come back, Robert Littell, Black Sports Online. Some of the top stories of the week with him next. It's a Friday edition of Sports Wrap, and if it's a Friday, that can only mean one thing. Enlightenment from this man. Robert Littell, the founder of Black Sports Online, hanging out with us on the show, as he does every Friday, and brings his worldly insight. So I had a couple things I want to get to you with in the first of our two segments. Let me start with Holly Rowe, which we did not address on this show this week. We stayed away from it. I said I'm going to save this for Robert at the end of the week because I wanted to get your reaction. And for people that didn't see it, Holly Rowe, who does a great job on women's basketball on the sidelines during ESPN broadcast, both in the WNBA and with college basketball, she was... Well, let's just say she said something she probably is regretting saying. For those that didn't see it.
I mean, she is
Let's see if we can pull it up here. This was Holly Rowe during the USC game talking about the atmosphere at USC games this year and trying to say a nice thing, and it didn't turn out so well. For people who didn't see it, here we go.
She is a cultural icon here in LA, and I was at a game here last year and I thought I was at the BET Awards. It was like every star in that community. We've seen so many people here. They just want to get a glimpse of her, and they are buying into her as their hometown hero.
Say that again.
I didn't have a problem with it, and I know a lot of people had a problem with it, and I understand there's sensitivities. When you're black, the way people speak about us in general, it makes you very sensitive to language and how you're described and what people say about you. And a lot of times it causes you to immediately kind of tense up, especially when a white person, says certain things. But within the context of what she was saying, it was just a lot of black entertainment stars are interested in Juju Watkins, which are facts. You know, it's not, I didn't take it as a bad. I can see if she said the whole hood came out or it was ghetto fabulous or something like that. She said the BET Awards. It'd be like saying, the Oscars came out for Paige Beckers. I mean,
does it represent almost too much of a level of comfort for her? That she's so comfortable in a certain environment that she feels like she could say that? Is that, well, and that's not, an, and by the way, that's not an indictment. That's not an indictment.
Yeah.
That's not me criticizing her. I didn't have the overreaction, which is probably why we didn't discuss it all week as much as I wanted to talk about it with you. I didn't have this aggressively negative reaction that some people had either, but does it represent just a comfort level?
Yeah, I think, well, like I said, she has a black son. So there's some level of understanding probably the community of raising a black son, and he's an adult now. Also, you know, she covers basketball, she covers football, she covers everything. So she's around these athletes, you know, all the time. She's around celebrities all the time. I do think she has, you know, a certain level of credibility where, you know, maybe if it was somebody else who said it, if it was Will Kane or, you know, or Clay Travis
Will
or
Kane.
Someone, I think we take it differently. Like if Clay Travis said that, I probably would react differently, you know, to it. I don't feel like, I think you do have to understand context where it's coming from. You know, if someone is speaking from a bad place, and I didn't see it like that. I just think she wanted to make a clear example that the black community and black culture has embraced Juju Watkins. Maybe she could have found a better way of expressing it, but I understood it.
John Morant.
Yeah.
We should be talking about a game winner he hit last night to snap the Heat's 6-game winning streak. Mm. Instead, we're talking about the fact that for the second straight game, and after the NBA said, don't do it when it comes to the finger gun salute, he did it. Now, I said this in the first segment, and I'll say it again. I think this is the wrong hill for the NBA to be dying on. If you think that him, you know, doing a finger gun salute is going to be the cause of more gun violence in America, you're clearly not paying attention to what's going on in America. There's a lot of things that are contributing to gun violence in America. I don't think Ja Morant's finger gun salute or pointing with a fake finger gun is going to be the reason for this. That said, Adam Silver and the WNBA made it clear, don't do it, and he still did it. What was your takeaway?
It's perplexing to me. I will say that I grew up in a time where if you made it out of the hood, per se, people looked at that as a bad thing. You know, if you went to private school or you talked, you know, articulate and everything, they looked down on you. And sometimes, even though you had it pretty decent in life, you wanted to be something that you weren't. And I remember Michael Irvin talking about his son trying to, you know, wanting to be in the hood. There's something about Ja Morant, and I think his dad perpetuates it as well with a lot of his actions on the sideline, that wants this persona of a gangster. I don't know if he feels like people like him more like that. I don't know if that makes him feel more tough or whatever it is. But he's stuck on it for whatever reason to almost defiance. And I don't understand it, maybe because I'm older, but I also don't understand why his dad, who's probably my age or maybe a little bit older, doesn't step in and say, hey, man, we lived in a nice 4-bedroom house. Why are you carrying around guns? Why do you want this image of this? This is not a positive image for kids, for anybody, honestly. And it, like you said, it's not just the gesture. It's what it portrays to people that look up to you, that look like me. And that what is concerns me, because I just saw a study where black men are not going to college. Like, it's down by like 10-15%, you know, percent. Well, they want to be Ja Morant. You know, they don't want to be Grant Hill. And that's what's concerning to me.
But let's be honest, and we only have about 25 seconds here, and we could suss this out a little more in the next segment. Let's be honest here. Why is the NBA making such a big deal of this?
Just like you said, it's image. It's the opposite. You know, he wants a certain image, and they've been trying to clean up that quote-unquote image since Allen Iverson, since the Malice in the Palace. They want clean. And if you're not clean, he's lucky David Stern's not around. He's been suspended for a year.
He may never have been welcomed back after all the gun stuff if David Stern had been the commissioner. We're coming back more with Robert Littal, Black Sports Online founder. Stay with us. Welcome back to the show. This Friday edition of Sports Wrap continues, as does our conversation with our friend Robert Littal, founder of Black Sports Online, hangs out with us every Friday on the show. We talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago, this Anthony Edwards story, where he basically said, you know, look, you know, I had a child, this child out of wedlock, this this woman, this older woman in her 30s or around 40, whatever almost she 40. Was. What was it?
Almost 40 years yeah. old. 39 years old.
So he had a child with this woman. Told the courts, I want nothing to do with this woman or the child. Then he went out this week and said, rather than pay $5,000 a week until the child is 18, I'm just going to give you $1.2 million. That covers it. Peace out. Now we found out he's got, what, like three more paternity suits that are out there. And in the vein of what we were just discussing with Ja Morant and the image and, excuse me, maturity and what the NBA is looking for and what we want to see in our athletes today, you have to wonder at a certain point with Anthony Edwards, who's still young, but at what point do you just start to say, dude, put on a condom? Like at what point do you start to say the kid just doesn't get it? Well, and he's never going to.
It makes sense now why he said he didn't want to be the face of the league. Yeah, so you know,
he's creating lots of faces apparently in his spare time.
Well, you know, I always try to separate, you know, the athlete on the court and then the person, you know, off of it, especially because, you know, like I always tell you, we don't know these guys or girls or whatever, the type of people they are, unless you're with them, you know, every day. But it's very difficult for me as a father of three to hear a black man specifically say, I don't want to have anything to do with, you know, my kid. Here's the thing. I understand, you know, bad relationships and it don't work out with the young lady or the old lady in this case.
She's 40.
Just to see, you know, someone, you know, say, I'm Anthony Edwards. So it's not like the kid is not going to know who his father is. And say, I don't want to have anything to do with him. And I don't want to, you know him. I don't want to visit with him. I don't want to know anything about him. Just take a check and leave me alone. I mean, even at 23, that says a lot about you as an individual. No matter how great of a basketball player you are, I think for some people, at least, it's going to be hard to separate that. And be honest with you, that's why when you think about LeBron, you think about Steph, faces of the league, what do you think? They're family men. You know, they're married. You know, their wives. They have their kids. They're in their lives. That's why Anthony Edwards, I don't think, will ever, you know, rise to that type of level.
And you don't have to. And look, you don't have to. You can be single. Be to me, it's a responsibility issue. Because we can talk about Ja Morant, you know, pointing a finger gun and the image that portrays. But what image are you portraying when you've got one of your star players who's out there having kids out of wedlock and then not taking accountability? I'm not saying, you know, I'm sure he's going to pay for the kids. We obviously saw what he did in the case of this one woman that's case has been very public. But, you know, what that will mean for those kids to not have that father in their lives, you know, right. What's more detrimental to society, that or Ja Morant doing this? I mean,
you know, it's a bigger community issue of black men, just men, maybe men in general. I saw some video of the child support cases. They were in the court in L.A. and the line was all the way, across. I think this is an American issue as well. I think, you know, there's way too many people that are very comfortable having kids, but not being in relationships, not being mature enough to handle parenthood. You see all these tragedies about, you know, the kids, you know, being involved in violence. And then what happens is when these kids grow up and they're 14, 15, 16, and then they're, you know, repeating the cycle. And I just tell you a quick story, just real quick.
Sure.
You know, I stayed with my grandmother a lot when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And next door, we had a family, and it was a family of girls next door to us. So when I was a kid, their kids were my age, right? When I would go back, when I went back to my, after college, to my grandma's house, they had kids. When I went back at 30, those kids were teenagers. When I went back at 40, those kids had kids when they were teenagers. And it was just a repeating cycle in the same house of these women at 17, 18, 19 years old having these kids and not really being prepared for parenthood. And here's the thing. I never saw the dads. This is three decades from my teenagers, 20s, 30s, 40s. All I saw were all these kids. I never saw any dads. And they live right next door to my grandma.
It is a problem. It's a big problem. I want to talk to you real quick before we go. What does it say to you when you see a, you know, and there were a couple of players in the last week here that have said, I'm not going into the WNBA draft. I'm going to stay for another year at school. Flauje Johnson, being the latest, said she's going to skip out on the 2025 WNBA draft, going to return to college basketball for her senior season, whether it's at LSU or somewhere else if she decides to go into the transfer portal. What does it say that we're seeing some of these players make the decision to actually stay in school in the women's ranks?
Well, it tells me that they're good at math. because if you stay in school and you get $1 million or high six figures for that last year in school, as opposed to $70,000 to $80,000 for the WNBA, I mean, it's just a math problem. Specifically, with knowing that their CBA is about to be up and those rookie contracts are likely going to be much higher next year, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. I would stay. You know, as well, especially if you're in a situation where maybe you've already graduated, you don't have to even take any classes.
Robert Littal is the founder of Black Sports Online. Check him out. He's on X as well, at BSO. Always tons of great content from him on social media, too. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here next week.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
We're coming back. All right. Coming up in 10 minutes, odds and ends. Aaron Judge, big night in the Bronx for the Yankees last night. Also, news on the LIV Golf PGA Tour merger. Not good news if you were hoping for it to happen. And some breaking news out of the WNBA, which we'll get to as well. But if it's a Friday on Sports Wrap, it can only mean one thing. This guy is here. Tino Patino, ladies and gentlemen. Our NASCAR betting insider, SiriusXM Radio. On their NASCAR channel. You can catch them on the weekends there, dispensing NASCAR betting advice. And boy, you had a good weekend last weekend, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We hit the Tino 3-peat, as I like to call it, the parlay of all the top manufacturers, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, and Ryan Preece. Very good odds there for that one, 53-1 almost, and it was a good hit because Denny Hamlin also won the race, and we got a lot of props all the way through.
All right, let's talk about Denny Hamlin because he wins last week. And I didn't notice this until Kevin Harvick pointed it out on his podcast this week, but Denny Hamlin, in celebrating, threw a flag up during his celebration that said 11 versus the world, basically. You know, I guess taking on some of his critics. And Kevin Harvick didn't think it was a good look. Were you as upset about it as Kevin Harvick was?
No, I'm not upset about that. That's awesome. And honestly, what it is paying homage to the Ohio State football team. They won the national championship. Denny Hamlin became a fan, a member of his crew, and guy that does his podcast with Dirty Mo Media there is a big Ohio State fan himself. So he was at the games. He was at the national championship. He was holding up the Ohio versus the world flag there. And now to bring that into his motto there throughout this season is going to be huge for Denny, because that's the type of confidence that he uses and that type of mentality that gives him that extra edge on the racetrack, maybe gets in other people's heads and maybe pisses some people off. And that's what he loves about it. Think about it too. This guy's been friends with Michael Jordan for such a long time, who also goes on to say, you know, talking smack is how he can dominate, because he may not be the fastest car, you know, on the track. He may not be the strongest driver in the car, but when he can do that, that's how he becomes the best version of himself. I love it.
How does it dovetail into sort of the rest of his season from here? You know, where Denny Hamlin was coming into this race in Martinsville, how he feels coming out of it, and now leading into this race in Darlington.
Well, he should feel great because of his age. He's getting older now, one of the oldest drivers on the grid, 44 years old, I believe, and to still continue winning at this age is big, because you never know when your last win is going to come. Martin Truex Jr. had it, and we thought he would continue to win. We didn't expect his last win to be the last win. This could be the case for Denny Hamlin. I don't think so with the caliber of driver he is and the pace he's at, and I think that's what is good for him moving forward.
Yeah, let's talk about the race at Darlington this week. It's throwback weekend, which has a lot of people excited. A guy that I bowl with on Monday nights was like, man, I can't wait to see the paint schemes and you know, the old look and all of this. it's a fun weekend for NASCAR, and I love how the sport leans into its past whenever it gets the chance.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. Honoring those, you know, who have come throughout the series. The Wood brothers, it's their 75th anniversary. Their family will be waving the green flag and be out there, you know, on the grid during pre-race. And NASCAR honors them. Kyle Larson throwing it back to Terry Labonte, 2000's car. Josh Berry, Jim Clark, 1965 IndyCar 500 win there. That's awesome to see. And then another one I wrote down was Joey Logano throwing it back to Cale Yarborough in the 1976 paint scheme. They're both now three-time champions. I love when they put this on each and every weekend, and to see the paint schemes, to see the drivers come and continue to honor the sport is such a great thing, especially at a track like Darlington.
All right, with that said, who do you like? Kyle Larson is your betting favorite at 5-1 over on FanDuel. Tyler Reddick at 650. Blaney at 650. Denny Hamlin, the aforementioned Denny Hamlin in the 11, at 750. And then William Byron, Christopher Bell. By the way, Christopher Bell is like yesterday's news now, it feels like, with what's taken place over the last couple of weeks. You can get him at 12-1. Our buddy Bubba Wallace at 20-1. Where are you going this week?
Well, we have to note Denny Hamlin is probably the best driver at this type of racetrack right now. He has the best average finish at Darlington all time with an 8.2. So that's something I'm definitely taking a look at with him being plus 750. But at the same time, if we're thinking Denny, we got to look at his rival in Kyle Larson. Two top fives in the last three, 336 laps led with a win in those last three races at this track. And now Tyler Reddick, this is the one I want to dive into a little bit. Plus 650 makes sense. Tyler Reddick, this is a track where you look at him and say, oh, he's got a good shot to win, ripping the fence here, just like Homestead Miami. But in 23-11 so far this season, and you mentioned Bubba Wallace, he's had faster cars than Tyler Reddick in the 23. And because of that, I love Bubba Wallace in this race to go out and get the win. He's had back-to-back top three finishes. He has so much speed throughout this season. 20-1 to get the win here is great value, especially earlier in the week where we can see him win the pole like he did in the last race at this track. The closing line value will be huge. I take Bubba over Reddick, and he showed it because he performed very well, better than his teammate Tyler Reddick in the 45 when we're at Homestead Miami, a comparable track to that of Darlington.
Wow. This could be a first. I don't know how many times you've actually picked Bubba since we started doing these segments going back to last year. I'm not sure how many times you've actually picked Bubba. For you to feel that strongly is very telling to me.
It's a nod to how good he's been this season.
Right? He has. He's been as consistent as anybody, really, other than the brake issue where he lost a tire or whatever in that one race. Might have been in Phoenix. Other than that, he's been great this year. He's been the most consistent driver out there.
Exactly. And when you're putting yourself in that position, when he's able to have a car that allows him to exceed and execute on the racetrack like that, if the pit crew can continue to do their thing and he's great on restarts, come out strong in qualifying. Hey, the winner has started inside the top 10 in the qualifying the last 85% of the time at this racetrack. Track position is going to be huge. High tire wear. It's going to be fun to see.
Tino, enjoy the race this weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you.
Just about time to put the wraps on this baby for a Friday. Don't forget, Sports Wrap Weekends available on many of these same affiliates. If not, go and check it out wherever it's available. Or call your station, call the station manager and say, I want Sports Wrap Weekends. It's the best of everything we do from throughout the week. Put into a nice 30-minute show. So make sure to go and check that out. Sports Wrap with Jason Page, the podcast, available on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Odyssey, Amazon, and more. Go and check that out as well. Sports Wrap with Jason Page podcast. You can also catch clips of the show, some of the more fun moments from the show, even some things that aren't in the show, because we're always running. We're always recording. You can do that over on YouTube, the Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel. Go and get a look at that if you get a chance as well. You can also watch the show on Spotify. And without any further delays, ladies and gentlemen, time for some odds and ends presented by our friends at Edge Boost. Making money daily from your sports betting? I'm not just talking about wins and losses, covers. No. I'm always about trying to find ways to take sports betting to the next level, and that is why I am pumped to tell you about our friends at Edge Boost, the financial platform paying you cash back just to wager. You're already doing it. Edge Boost is an online bank account that pays you for every deposit. With the Edge Boost Visa debit card, you're getting up to 0.5% cash back on all your sportsbook, daily fantasy site, and casino transactions. Free money back in your pocket just for doing what you're doing already. It's a no-brainer. Plus, your Edge Boost debit card starts with $250,000 daily limit, and it'll never be declined for gambling activity. They got built-in tools to help you stay responsible, and there's absolutely no hidden fees or minimum required balances. Stop leaving money on the table. Why would you want to do that? Visit edgeboost.bet. Learn more. Sign up today with edgeboost.bet or just scan the QR code below. Use my promo code RAP and get yourself a free account upgrade. The Yankees got back to their winning ways on Thursday night, and they did so thanks in big part to the big guy, Aaron Judge, hitting home run number 5, extra base hit number 500 for his career as the Yankees hang on to beat the Diamondbacks 9-7. Yankees are scoring, although the last couple games before last night, they obviously struggled against a couple of good starting pitchers. Yankees are scoring, but the Yankees starting pitching has been here in the early going, and we knew it would be suspect given all the injuries. But a bigger question to ask Sammy Arnell, Aaron Judge with 5 home runs, what, 6 games into the season? Is he hitting 60 this year? I knew I'd get a head slap. That was actually audible. Do that again. Maybe knock yourself out.
We made it 8 days into the season. 8 days before I had to deal with this?
60 home
no,
runs.
No, he's not.
Is there already a
when
prop
that lat pops in 3 weeks and he misses 2.5 months and he comes back for like 3 games and then misses 3 more months, then we can talk. But no! My gosh, and the books. Oh, the books. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, folks, just go to that AL MVP market. Click randomly and just place your bets. Because, I mean, minus money on Aaron Judge to win the MVP 4 games into the season is ridiculous. It's stupid.
Is it, though?
It's egregious.
Is it, though?
Yes, it is. And nobody, I don't care. The only person who is justifiably a minus money favorite that early in a season is Shohei Ohtani. And not this year. Not this year. It's Shohei Ohtani in a year where he's done what Aaron Judge has done and made a start, maybe 2, and his ERA is around 1. That's when you can make somebody a minus money favorite for MVP 4 games into the season. Otherwise, you're out of your mind.
Aaron Judge minus 125, Bobby Witt at minus 450, Gunnar Henderson at plus 1200 right now when you talk about the MVP award. No prop bet available on Judge to hit 60 home runs yet, but just kind of hang in there. We'll wait it out. Odds and ends, it looks like LIV Golf and the PGA Tour still aren't on the same page, with the PGA Tour reportedly turning down a $1.5 billion offer from the PIF. So clearly the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and the PIF still can't get on the same page here, Sam. And it's just amazing because it feels like 2 years ago we were talking about a deal between these two sides and still nothing has happened.
Yeah, golf's a mess. What's new? And we're a week out from the Masters, and this is the headline. Great. It's been interesting to see the kind of turn that golf has taken just in the time, Jason, the 18 months that you and I have been doing this show together, as it was, you know, drama, drama, drama 18 months ago. Then it was, oh, everything's fine, and golf is booming and super popular. And then that popularity wore off real quick, and all of a sudden, the drama, drama, drama is back, back, back.
Last one, and this one broke just before we got to the end of our recording window. Elena Deladon announcing her retirement from the WNBA, saying her body, quote, seemed to make this decision before my mind accepted it. Retiring in an Instagram post, won an NBA title with the Mystics in 2019, but has had multiple back surgeries, did not play in 2024. She was an outstanding player and really a shame that she just couldn't stay healthy. And most notable for turning down Gino Auriemma and the UConn Huskies when they tried to get her back in the day.
Yeah, DC basketball legend, Delaware Blue Hen legend out of the CAA. That's right. We love to get some conference love. Great career for EDD.
Yep. Sam, it's been a great week, my friend. We'll see you back here next week. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Robert Littal. Thank you to Tino Patino. Thanks to you for watching. I'm Jason Page. We'll catch you back here next week. Mm-hmm.